Hi, and welcome to the Switch Natural podcast. My name is Andrea Dar, and on my journey to find non-toxic products, I've met some amazing people. People that are driven by their life experiences to create something new that can help others on their wellness journey. I'm sharing candid conversations so that you can be inspired too. Today's guest is Yana Blankenship. She is the founder of Captain Blankenship, one of my favorite clean hairlines. And that's actually how I found out about Yana years ago. Her dry shampoo was one of the first clean hair care products that I fell in love with. Yana is one of the original clean beauty founders before clean beauty was even a thing. And she is authentic, lovely to talk to. I found her story very interesting, very inspiring. Let's get into it.
Back when I first really started looking for clean products, there was not much out there. And your brand, Captain Blankenship, was one of the very first, I think, that I found and fell in love with. So there was, because there was no clean marketing, I really feel like those brands like yours were ahead of their time. And so I would love to hear from you what was your reason for starting the brand, like such a conscious brand, really in the beginning of it all?
Yeah, you know, it is, there's so many ways to tell a story, and I'll try to keep it not too long, but it definitely was not what I never thought I would start a company. I was always that kid growing up who was outside making potions. And now I have two tiny little potion makers myself, but I was always outside picking roses and mint and pine needles and mixing them in water and giving them to friends and family. And I was just always obsessed with plants and with plant-based ingredients. But I had a little foray into the synthetic fragrance world at a young age. My mom was actually a fashion designer, and she saw my penchant for alchemy and for making potions and perfumes, and let me mix all of her synthetic fragrances together. And this was at the age of 7. And the perfumes, it was the early 80s. So perfumes were really decadent and the bottles were so beautiful and exhilarating. Like, there's nothing like it anymore. And they had amazing names like Obsession and Poison.
Yeah, those sound familiar.
Like, I'm so curious. And from all of that heavy mixing of synthetic perfumes, I developed a sensitivity that I still have. So whenever I smell synthetic fragrance, which fragrance is everything from perfumes to personal care products to trash bags to shopping malls, I get a visceral reaction. I get headaches. I feel nauseous. I feel hot and not in a good way. So
I completely relate. It's a huge migraine trigger for me. And it truly isn't everything. We can't get away from it.
Everything. And I feel so bad. I was actually at an ATM yesterday, and the person next to me, the cologne was just like wafting over, and I couldn't breathe. So overwhelming. But yeah, so I, you know, had that experience as a child, and, you know, this deep love and reverence for the natural world. I had a whole other career as a contemporary art curator. But then when I was living out in Berkeley, California, in my 20s, one day I discovered this beautiful compact of solid perfume that smelled like jasmine and blood orange and grapefruit. And it just smelled like the hills in Berkeley where I was living. And I was so curious. I found the perfumer, Mandy Aftel, who made it. She lived in the area. I studied with her. And then that was kind of it. It was like this very serendipitous moment. And I ended up just starting Captain Blankenship in my kitchen. And in the beginning, it was essential oil-based perfumes. There really weren't that many options on the market. And then it really became, you know, anything a friend or myself couldn't find a clean swap for. And, you know, back then there was no Credo, there was no detox. This was 2009. Like, you went to Whole Foods to buy clean beauty, but there were just so few options, and all of them, you know, either they had synthetic fragrance or some questionable ingredients, or they just smelled very one-noted, like vanilla or lavender. Yes. Weren't exciting options. So my kind of from day one, it was always for me about using the best organic plant-based ingredients paired with really lush, experiential, essential oil-based scents.
Yeah.
And so it grew out of my kitchen. And this is not, I feel like there are so many founders that we started just around the same time. My good friends at Meow Meow Tweet were also, you know, founded in 2009 and similar story. But it was really, you know, there was a real need then. And we were so passionate about plant-based beauty. And it was, you know, an incredibly rich time. All of the founders were still friends, you know, and we were really out there supporting each other. So it's Captain Blanket.
Really neat.
And our
is Aftel still making perfume?
Yes, she's still my mentor. I just talked to her recently. She's amazing. She still teaches too, and her classes are amazing. She actually opened a museum in Berkeley that is an incredible archive of scent, and she has like rare and historic materials, like beautiful drawings and books about the history of scent. And it's really, if you're in Berkeley, you have to go. It's a gem of a museum.
It sounds like it. And it sounds to me too, like you were able to compare what a synthetic fragrance smells like versus what you were used to experiencing as a kid. And the two are just so different. And once you get away from synthetic, once you get away from synthetic and you really can't go back to it, and you can really tell the difference. But I think we're just so bombarded for so long that we get used to it.
You know, there was there's a professor at Brown named Rachel Hurst, and she wrote a whole book about the psychology of smell and had done studies. I included it in my first book, Wild Beauty, but when it comes to roses, you know, so many different types of roses, so many different aspects to their smells, from fruity to sweet to honeyed to green. And the majority of people mistake the scent, the synthetic scent of a rose, for a real rose. And it's just, you know, the synthetic scent of a rose is just one noted. It's just because we're pummeled with synthetic fragrance all the time, and people can't tell real scents from fake scents. And I think what's amazing about essential oils, and certainly like I'm fine with people using synthetic fragrance as long as they disclose what's in the fragrances, which they never do anyway.
That's
but,
true.
It's all about transparency. But the amazing thing about essential oils is they're just so rich and experiential, and they're limited. You know, not every plant yields an essential oil, and you know, you should only be using essential oils that are not, you know, plants that aren't over harvested. But it limits your palate. But it's also, you know, they're also active ingredients too. They have incredibly beneficial healing properties for skin and hair, and you know, and for your body and spirit too.
And so fragrance has probably been a big part of your formulating all these years, it sounds like.
It has. I mean, I still, from day one, I'm the lead formulator at Captain Blankenship, and scent is really at the heart of the products. I feel like we've come into an age where people use beauty products because they feel like they need to, and it's utilitarian. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you don't enjoy using them. And I want to totally subvert that. I mean, they should be a joy to use. They should be, you know, the ingredients themselves, from shea butter to aloe vera, like they're incredibly sensual, beautiful ingredients. And the scent is an active part of that. And it's something that should bring joy to your day. And, you know, it's like a beautiful reminder and wake up call to pay attention. And so I
love that. Nature. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they're also like, they're chosen for a reason. I use rose geranium and palmarosa essential oils in our sea salt hairspray and our dry shampoo because they're incredibly beneficial for scalp health. And those products end up on your scalp, but they also have this, you know, beautiful rosy beach breeze scent that they conjure together. And, you know, it's like this, you know, added experiential layer that I love. I mean, people have sensitivities to essential oils, just like they have sensitivities to synthetic fragrance, but you know, that's why we disclose ingredients on the ingredient list.
So. I am so big on, I think a huge part of this is just knowing what you're buying, right? For so many people, they don't even realize they don't know what they're putting on their bodies. So transparency is key. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, when and how did you decide to narrow it to hair care?
Sure. So it was quite recently, actually. It was only in 2020. We refreshed the line with new branding and packaging. And, you know, it was like, this is a very homegrown story. I started the brand out of my kitchen in Berkeley. And over the past plus decade, it's grown. All the original packaging came from my hand. It was all scanned watercolors and drawings. And in 2020, we decided it was a good moment to kind of elevate the branding and packaging a bit. But then also, I love to formulate everything from natural perfumes to skincare to hair care to body care. And over the past decade, we've sold in all of those categories, and actually writing books. My second book, Seasonal Family Almanac, just came out, and I had another book called Wild Beauty in 2019.
Amazing.
And that's really fed my love for, you know, for DIY recipes and sharing my passion for plant-based ingredients. But as you know, the market for clean beauty has changed so much in the past 5 years. And now, you know, as I was saying, when I started, it was out of need. Now, like, so many of those categories are flooded with clean beauty products. And certainly, you know, I believe that that many of them have more integrity than others, but they're really, you know, I have a face oil recipe that's beloved to me that we used to sell, but there is no need for a new face oil on the market.
It's interesting to me too, because hair care is that category, in my experience, is so hard to switch, because I've tried a lot of clean hair products and they just don't perform the way that products performing, make your hair too dry, tangled. And I, you know, the feedback that I get from my followers too, is that it's just a hard product category to swap. And I think you've really nailed it with your products and that they work, which is so important. People are going to switch, they've got to work too.
Totally. And that was part of the reason that we decided to focus on hair care, was that some of the first products I ever formulated for Captain Blankenship, from our sea salt hairspray to our dry shampoo to our hair and scalp serum, like, they were within the first 10 products I ever formulated for the company. And then a decade later, it's like, they're still that are cult hero products. The brand has always been known for hair care, and specifically, you know, we're not your kind of conventional equivalent. It's about low maintenance, effortless hair care for your best hair naturally. And you were so right. It's the hardest switch to make, but they're also the hardest products to formulate within clean beauty, in my opinion. It's very really an effective plant-based shampoo and conditioner. And actually, our shampoo and conditioner took over 3 years to formulate. Wow. And it's really, you know, about striking a balance. And I know you've mentioned, you know, that clean hair care products that you've used have tangled your hair. And that's common, like tangling hair, weighing it down, even still stripping hair more than some conventional shampoos. So for us, it was really, you know, it is about striking that balance and testing on all hair types, testing widely. And for us with our shampoo, it was about finding the right blend of plant-based surfactants. And then in both our shampoo and conditioner, organic aloe vera is the number one ingredient that we source from a farm in California. So it is, you know, I think a lot of people are used to, because people use shampoo and conditioner every day, it's like, oh, I'm not going to spend money on that. You know, it's like, I won't pay more than $10 for a product, but it's like, just, you know, how you treat your scalp, how you treat your hair should be the same way that you treat your face. So
true. And it's, your products are formulated in a way, I think, that supports not using as much, which is so great. I think you really can use less.
Mm-hmm. I live by it every day, because I always have dry shampoo in my hair, but yeah, it's like, who doesn't want more time back? And I think too, it's, you know, our hair does its best when it isn't washed and heat treated every day. And
it's very true.
And it's also just better for us, for our own rituals, to not have to feel like we have to wash it every day and go through that cycle. But it's better for everything. It's better for your scalp. Everyone, I think most of the problems that people are experiencing with their scalp and their hair is just from really overdoing it, from using too many products, from using harsh products, from washing every day, you know, from trying to kind of fit into this norm that's been presented to us.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you hear these stories of people's hair falling out, like severe scalp irritation just from products. And one thing I don't want to forget, we were talking a little bit about how your formulas are plant-based, and I know that you use a lot of natural ingredients, but I'd like to hear about your philosophy on natural and safe, because from my experience, there are cases where the most natural ingredient might not be the safest, or do you take a hard line on a certain perspective on that with your formulas?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think sets us apart is that we really rely on time-honored plant-based ingredients. We never listen to trends or fads, though I have to say our sea salt hairspray, which used to be our mermaid sea salt hairspray, was one of the first products I ever formulated over a decade ago. And it's like, people would keep being like, you're so on trend with the mermaid hair. It's like, no, this is like
even before the trend.
Yeah, it's always been like that. It doesn't go out of style. But I think so many brands rely on, you know, it's like, what's the trendy ingredient of the moment? And then that ingredient gets over harvested and there's a global shortage. And rely on regenerative organic ingredients that we can direct source from farmers and cooperatives, organic aloe veras, like one of the number one ingredients across many of our products, from our shampoo and conditioner to our sea salt hairspray. We source it from a farm in California. When you use an ingredient across multiple products too, you can make a much bigger impact with the sourcing, especially if you're direct sourcing. And so, you know, I love aloe vera to shea butter, to witch hazel, to essential oils like sweet orange and rosemary that are so beneficial for hair and scalp health, and jojoba oil. Like I keep coming back. That's the palette I like to work with. You know, these ingredients, nothing that's like new and trendy, though I have to say we have a change happening at Captain Blankenship right now. Our gold sea salt shimmer spray is coming out. And this isn't a new product, but we've changed the formulation a bit. I first formulated it as our Golden Waves sea salt shimmer spray in 2014. And the idea behind it is it's the same formula as our sea salt hairspray, but with golden shimmer added. So it adds this beautiful golden shimmer to hair. It's really fun. It's a fun product. And when I first formulated it, I was using responsibly sourced natural mica. And then in 2020, when we decided to refresh the branding and the packaging, we also got our Made Safe certification, which was really exciting and something I've wanted to do for a long time. And Made Safe is the most stringent ingredient certification. There's 6,500 ingredients that they don't allow in products, and they vet all ingredients for human toxicity, environmental toxicity, and aquatic toxicity. And we actually luckily did not have to change our formulas very much, but with the Golden Waves, they do not allow mica at all, and natural mica, and then also titanium dioxide. And mica, when I first formulated the product, there weren't any great synthetic biodegradable micas available, but now there are. And part of the reason that they don't allow mica is that even if it is responsibly sourced, it can be a little bit murky. The majority of natural mica is mined in India, and it's an ethical issue where sometimes there's child labor involved. And even if you are responsibly sourcing it, it's very hard to know.
The synthetic is better.
In this case, we think the synthetic is better, and it biodegrades in 28 days. There's so much within that world of kind of color cosmetics. There's so many innovative ingredients coming up now. And there's bio glitter made from eucalyptus pulp. But we could
really. Yeah. I know that iron oxides in makeup, like you want synthetic there because then you eliminate the heavy metal contamination risk. So I think this is an important nuance when it comes to beauty products.
It is. And it is true that, you know, in some cases, natural isn't the best option. It's just, you know, you need to educate yourself and weigh your options. But it was for us, this is kind of the first, you know, safe synthetic that we're using. So I'm interested, we're going to do a lot of education around it and kind of excited to see, you know, what people think. And it's a really fun, really fun formula. And the shimmer is actually with the synthetic biodegradable mica is more shimmery than the previous formula. So I'm hoping people are going to love it.
Yeah. Sounds great. I loved the previous one. Excited to see this one out because someone was actually asking me recently, where did the salt shimmer spray go? So I'm happy it's coming back.
Coming back, and I can't wait to send you a bottle. It's coming out.
Thank you.
By the time this comes out, it'll already be out. So you will have your bottle.
Awesome. And I love that you put so much thought into these like hero ingredients that are so good for the hair and the scalp. And I mentioned that people struggle with hair loss and scalp irritation. Is there anything that you would want to point out as like a no-no, like that you would never formulate with that you see in hair care still, unfortunately?
Oh, sure. I mean, I have like an exhaustive laundry list of ingredients that I would never formulate with. You know, the top ones are phthalates, formaldehyde, which ends up being in a lot of things, which is very sneaky. Silicone, sulfates, parabens, and synthetic fragrance, but it kind of goes on and on. And I think, you know, I think people generally recognize that they shouldn't use products with those ingredients in them, but there's no way to know, you know, like those phthalates end up in all kinds of ingredients and formaldehyde
in the fragrance. Exactly.
In fragrance, and the fragrance doesn't, you know, companies don't have to disclose what's in their synthetic fragrance. I always joke, like if they did, and they will have to disclose it, it's like, it wouldn't even be able to fit on the bottle anymore because there could be hundreds of ingredients in there.
It's really it's disappointing. And I mentioned to you the other day that I thought with the MOCRA legislation that they really would start requiring companies to list the ingredients in fragrance. And there's a caveat in there that the government can ask for them to disclose it if there's been a problem. It's really, really loose. And I just think that's an area that consumers really deserve to know what's in their products.
They do. I mean, it's funny. I always think it's like people are advertising that it's like free of parabens, free of sulfates, et cetera. But like the companies that do use those ingredients should have to have it right on the front of the packaging. It's like, formulated with.
It's almost a sign when you see formulated without. I was looking at a sunscreen just the other day in Whole Foods and I shared it. It said formulated without oxybenzone, PABA, octinoxate. And then you flip the back and it's got avobenzone and octocrylene. And it's just there. It's misleading for sure.
That's why I think, I mean, I'm so grateful to you and love what you're doing because it's, you know, it's helping the consumer figure out, you know, what's in the products, what to buy, because otherwise it's like, you know, you see these things, it says free of, you trust it and you don't, you know, the onus shouldn't be on the consumer to have to like dive through the ingredients and do the research, you know, on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Greenwashing is a real thing. It's a funny word, but it's true. And thinking back to when you started long, you know, which was before I started, there wasn't clean marketing and it's totally blown up and become such a thing that I think that brands are just trying to grab and tag on to not necessarily being authentically clean in the way that it's presented.
It is. I mean, it is, you know, it's a strange thing to think about that when we started, I started before like social media was really a thing too.
Wow. And, you know, with 2009, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, 2009. So it's like a whole different world now. And I think, you know, it's good. I feel grateful that no matter what happens, like I've helped move things forward within clean beauty. But I think
Absolutely.
Now like, there was, you know, it's like a land grab. I think people saw that there was an opportunity within clean beauty. And then there's been a crazy proliferation of brands and even, you know, like the larger companies coming in and trying to get into clean. And mostly it's just marketing and not actually, you know, integrity or, you know, desire to create a better product for the consumer. So, you know, it's a very confusing time. And it's like, I think consumers need a lot of help trying to figure out, you know, how to sort it out. And that's why you're amazing. Switch Natural.
Are you happy that you started before all of that? Like, what was it like?
I mean,
starting business at that time?
Yeah, I wouldn't start a brand today. And that, like, I feel bad, but so many, you know, people would come to me saying, I have this idea for a clean beauty company. And you know, it's really saturated right now, unless it's something that's like really niche and you have one product. But I don't think, you know, there's so much out there right
now. Bombarded, and every celebrity is jumping in. So it's overwhelming for sure. And I've seen a lot of great clean beauty brands come and go, which is sad.
Hard. I mean, it's hard to, you know, to break through the noise now. And it, you know, whereas before it was really, you know, you could get by with like the integrity of ingredients, you know, walking the walk, sustainable packaging. I mean, we're a B Corp, we're part of 1% for the planet, we're Leaping Bunny certified, we're Made Safe certified. We use infinitely recyclable aluminum packaging, and
your brand is conscious all the way around. Right. Like,
it's very hard. You know, it's like now you really have to rely on digital marketing, and the spend is extravagant. And so it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that so many great brands have had to close, but I understand. I understand the challenge.
What do you think contributed to your, or has contributed to your longevity?
You know, I think being one of kind of the original pioneering brands, we have loyal customers that have been with us from day one. And for me, I could never change the integrity of what I'm doing, or I wouldn't believe in it anymore. If I were to change the formulas because I wanted to meet, you know, like a certain cost, it's not what we do. It actually, with the proliferation of brands, with greenwashing, it just makes me want to dig my heels in deeper and, you know, direct sourcing. We're trying to direct source as many regenerative organics as we can from farmers and cooperatives. But yes, I think it's, you know, the customers that trust us, that know that we're, you know, that we're not about greenwashing, that we're not just about marketing, that we truly walk the walk. I also think, you know, in the beginning, it was interesting with these like original clean beauty brands, because retailers were coming directly to us, and we're excited about being part of this movement. And we've been in clean beauty retailers like Credo Beauty and the Detox Market since they first opened their doors. So we feel so grateful for their partnership. But I think being a new brand trying to get into retail today and trying to, you know, make a mark for yourself and grow a loyal customer following is so hard. So I really, and then also I have an incredible team who's been with me throughout all of this, and I could never, you know, could never have done this alone. So I just feel grateful that, you know, there are a lot of elements that have made, that have given it success and longevity. But yeah, I'm really grateful that we started before, you know, this kind of wild growth within the industry.
I'm so glad that we're doing this, because people get to hear from you and know the authenticity of you and your brand, because like you were saying, we're flooded with brands and we don't know which ones are honest and doing the right thing by the environment and the safety profile. I mean, just all of it. So it's really neat to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful. And I've respected and admired you for so long, and it's just such a joy to get to talk. And I'm always so happy to tell my story, and also always so happy to share any mistakes I've learned, anything along the way. I'm always happy when people reach out to me, because, you know, it's been a long, wild journey, and I've learned so much from it. And I definitely want to.
So cool. I feel the same. I'm so passionate about what I do that anybody that wants to listen, I'm so happy I could talk about this all the time.
Me too. I know we could talk for days. On any
Okay. So what tips do you have for someone who has been trying to switch to clean hair care, but hasn't had much luck?
Yeah. So I think it's really about sticking with it. I think when you're used to using conventional hair care products, you're used to your hair feeling, smelling a certain way. And we get taught that this is how things are supposed to look. You know, it's like you look in the magazine and like, oh, I want to look like that. And part of our mission at Captain Blankenship, we formulate our products for all hair types. And it's really about your best hair naturally working with the natural texture of your hair, enhancing it with plant-based ingredients. So I think part of it is it takes some adjustment, but I think that once, if you stick with it, like you're going to love your hair more, you know, it's like, you're going to accept this new, and your hair is going to be healthy, happy, shiny. And so I think part of it too is I want people to fall in love with the products they're using. And I think sometimes it's like these conventional products, they feel a certain way, they look a certain way, maybe they're colorless, maybe they're blue, probably smell like synthetic fragrance, you know, and it does a certain thing to your hair. And instead, I want you to fall in love with the ingredients that are in there. Like, what's not to love about shea butter and, you know, like beautiful essential oil-based scents. So I think it is just, it's this adjustment period, but I think I want to encourage people to be open to it. And I think too, in this world, we're so used to things happening instantly. It's like, oh, I want it this way now. And it's like, it's a process, and you have used conventional products for years. It's going to be a process to adjust to natural products, but give it a chance. Like, I know you're going to be happier when it's your best hair naturally, instead of, you know, covered with chemicals that are actually damaging to not only your scalp, your hair, but also the planet.
That's great advice. And I love what you said about kind of not trying to change your hair, but embrace it in its healthiest state. I have a wonderful hairdresser who taught me this years ago when I started seeing him. He's like, your hair will look the best when it's not overly damaged, or, you know, shampooed too much so that it's stripped. And it's so true.
It's so true. I know. And it's, you know, I have a niece who's 18 who just reached out to me, and she was like, I want your help on my hair care routine. And I was like, less is more, you know, you don't need, you know, 15 different products. It's like, you just need a simple routine that you stick to and that you love doing. So it's really freeing in that way. It's like, we don't need, you know, your vanity doesn't need to be covered in like tons of different products. Like, find the ones that you love and stick with them.
That's awesome. I'm all about using less, because what I've realized, like switching products, I use so fewer products than I did before I started switching to cleaner products, because you realize what you don't need, and it's just waste of time, waste of resources.
I know. Yeah. Your hair is so beautiful.
Thank you. Right. You are really the care expert, but I do not want to overlook the fact that you're a wealth of knowledge in the natural product space and living and healthy living. So I want to share, or I'd love for you to share about your book, which you poured so much time and love into, that's coming out soon.
Yeah, it is. It's called Seasonal Family Almanac, and it's a collaboration with my friend Emma Frisch. And we've worked on it for over 3 years, and it's finally coming out. And it is really, I'm really proud of it. It's really encyclopedic. It's a big book. and it's really about helping families deepen their connection to nature and living with the seasons, and really meant to bring ease into family life and joy and connection. And it has over 100 culinary recipes, beverages, personal care and herbal recipes, and nature-based crafts and activities for the whole family. And, you know, it's been really incredible now that people are finally receiving copies. And something that's really fun is, you know, these are recipes that Emma and I have had for years. And now I have this, you know, they were like scribbled down on paper for ourselves. And now to have this book,
you have to go find them. Now they're all in a book.
And so I was like I have a whole section on a spring cleaning caddy. And so this morning it's like, I needed to make some cleaning products and turn to the page. And so I'm just, you know, I'm hoping it really feels like a timeless book, and one that's going to hopefully be beloved and dog-eared and worn out, and just, you know, grow with families. And it's been really fun to work on, and, you know, both for just in my personal life, and, you know, lifestyle, and with Captain Blankenship, all the work that I do, nature is my primary source of inspiration and wonder. And so that's definitely a book that's really infused with that. And it was also just a joy. My first book, Wild Beauty, I wrote on my own. This book I wrote with Emma, and that was just the spirit of collaboration and our friendship just runs through the book. And it was brought together by a team of mothers and over 18 contributors too. So it really felt like we were kind of calling on our village. So I feel like it's really rich. And yeah, I'm so excited to hear what people think now that it's in their hands. But the spirit of kind of less is more, simple recipes using, you know, ingredients you probably have in your kitchen, seasonal ingredients that are growing outside, wild harvested ingredients that you can find, you know, growing in your yard, in your neighborhood. And it's really accessible to everyone, no matter where you live.
It's amazing. And I love that it's a family book, family-centered book. For me, having kids was such an inspiration and spark of curiosity when it comes to food, when it comes to product, when it comes to everything. And so including them in that process, I love that you have crafts in there for them. So you have several kids, right?
I have two kids. I have my son Caspian is 7 and a half, and my daughter Mila is almost 10.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize I have twins that are 8.
That's so cool. Yeah. Wow. Twins. I can't imagine. Though I have so many friends who are twins and they're like still best friends. Adults. Yeah.
So cool. I'm so happy for them that they have each other. And I just, every day, it's one of those things we can never believe that you have twins, you know?
Yeah.
The craziest thing. It's really neat though.
So amazing.
So, yeah.
But with the book, I really, you know, I wanted, it's like, it makes sense to start kids young with their reverence and respect for the natural world. And also, you know, knowledge about cooking, care and crafts. You know, they're the seeds of our future, and we need them to be educated and to fight for our Mother Earth. So.
And they're sponges, and kids love to learn about this stuff.
They do. I mean, what's more wonderful than looking outside the door and seeing, you know, the first violet to open, or, you know, like it is just, it's amazing. Right now where we live, it's like the daffodils are all blooming, and it's just, you know, what can make you happier than seeing, you know, that burst of sunshine every day?
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see the book, to read it, to see all the pages and the recipes and the crafts and everything. I'm excited about it.
I can't wait to hear what you think. I'm so excited.
This has been so much fun talking to you. You've shared a lot, and I appreciate you joining me today.
Oh, I'm so grateful. This has been, you know, such a joy talking to you, and I want to do it again. I feel like we could talk forever.
Yeah, we'll have another episode for sure.
Yay.
Thank you, Yana.